partying or pottying or whatever you're doing, grab your seat. It's a joy today to get to introduce you guys. Most of you know Stephen Wagner. We've been supporting, by God's grace, the church planting efforts of God through this man and his family for the last 6 years since we've been in existence, or five and a half, however long it's been. One of the things that we believe in is church planting. We're a church plant, and we want to continue to plant more churches. That's has always been our goal, our aim, our desire is to see more churches planted, to see more more men and women raised up and sent out to plant more churches so that Jesus' name is proclaimed and communities of faith can come together and walk out and live out the mission of God. And one of the ways we've been able to do that and see that is through the ministry of our brother in the faith, Stephen. And so he's planted a couple churches, and over the last couple years, we've been supporting him through a ministry he's leading in a part of called Unleashed by Design, where he gets to coach with and train lots of other church planters. And so in a lot of ways, the ministry has been multiplied, not just from one church plant, but through many church plants, through the wisdom and the gifting that God has given Stephen to be able to not just be a church planter, but also coach and train and equip other church planters. And so just for me personally, I think sometimes it's hard for grown men to have friends, period. But it's hard. It's hard, especially I think in ministry. Maybe it's hard in every profession. But this brother right here is one of my great, amazing, faithful friends, and I'm honored to get to have him preach today to you guys. So he's going to come up, and he's going to preach God's word. I'm going to pray over him. You can come up now, my brother. I'm going to pray over him, and then he's going to bring God's word. And if you didn't get to meet his amazing, beautiful wife and their family, they're here this morning, so make sure you holler at them at some point this morning, and he can talk more about them if he so chooses. But I'm going to pray, and then he's going to bring God's word. God, we love you. We're so grateful for your grace in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, again. We can't thank you enough for your sacrificial, amazing, perfect love. You laid down your life, and then you rose again so that we might have life and forgiveness and joy and hope in you. And I pray this morning that this gospel that we get to experience and that Stephen gets the privilege of proclaiming would affect our hearts, would affect our minds this morning the way that only it can. Holy Spirit, do your work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives through this man, through the proclamation of your word. Thank you for him. Thank you for his preparation. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would use him to deliver exactly what you would have him say to us this morning. We are, as we just said, here's our lives. As we just sang, here are our lives. Take them. Use them. Show us what we need to hear today to be moved and shaped and molded more into your image, Christ Jesus. We love you. We need you. We ask it all in your name, Christ. Amen.
Thanks, David. Good morning, family. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 127, if you want to turn there to Psalm 127. If you are here and you are a parent in desperate need of help, raise your hand. I want to see if I'm in good company. I have extremely, extremely, extremely good news to share with you this morning. It primarily is this, that God himself is in the trenches with you in your parenting. We are not alone. We are not alone. He is working through and in the efforts and the laboring that we work through. So I want to thank you for letting me come and bring the word this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I'm going to read the text and I'm going to pray. Psalm 127 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Father, as your children, we come to you right now and we submit to your word. You know the hearts in the room. You know us intimately. You know the parents that are struggling right now. You know the challenges that we face. You know the hurt that exists within us. You know the pain that today, Mother's Day, causes for people. You know that there are people are hurting this morning because your plan for them was not what they hoped. And so God, instead of running away from you, we run toward you for healing. You know where we are. You know where we are, and you in grace, you meet us there and you heal our brokenness. God, the pain was emptied on you so that you could sympathize with us in our pain. So God, for all of our hearts, we need help. Meet us here. Meet us here in your word. Care for your children right here, right now. Do it for your glory. Do it for your kingdom. Get glory from us as we listen. In Christ's name, amen. So, some of you who like titles of sermons, here's the title. All right? The title is The Parent That the Lord is Building. The Parent That the Lord is Building, or if you like this one better, The Parent That Jesus Makes Possible. And as David said, I know most of you, some of you in the room aren't parents, you aren't mothers, but if you are a part of this body, God includes those of us who are not parents into the nurturing and the caring for and the building up of small children. So you are either directly or indirectly parenting or called to be a member of that family. And for those of you who are far from a parent, I want this word to be encouraging to you as how to encourage parents. As Pastor David mentioned, those of us, we come alongside and we seek to shore up the foundation when parents are struggling. It is a hard endeavor, and it is a group effort. And so as a family, this family, if you're part of this family, you get to be a part of parenting. You get to be a part of the big thing that God is doing. So before we jump into this, we have to remember, all of us, we have to remember where it is that God has brought us from. So as normal American Christians, we usually don't do this. I'm going to give you permission to do this morning. We do not take time to reflect on how far God has brought us and what he has built in us. We very rarely stop long enough to look back a few years or look back more than a few years and remember where it is that we were when God began to really shape us. We don't take time to do that. And especially as parents, we don't take time to look back and see how gracious God has been to us in our own parenting and how he has built into us what we did not have before. I can say I've had the privilege to be a parent for 13 years now. Praise God that I am not the parent that I was. I can look back and see, well, I look back and think, how in the world? Why? Oh, I feel bad for my children. I still feel bad for my children. But I look back and say, I can see clear marks where God has established within me, within my wife, and he has shaped us into the parents that are useful, that are suitable for work. And as was mentioned in one of the prayers this morning, is that one of the ways, the primary way that God builds us into parents that are suitable for work is that, and we know that the parent that God is building us into is created from the parent that he is to us.
So we are being shaped as parents. We are constantly being shaped by God as He parents us. We are learning what He is like, and as we learn what He is like, we are able to reflect that to our children. But it's really important for us to stop and recognize the God that has been gracious to us and that has built us into the people that we are now. He has not left us, and He will not abandon us. God shapes us by being kind to us. I was, the little insight on me, I have never been a very patient person. Children have a way of making you. You don't have a choice here. It demands radical patience. And I'm not talking about babies. I'm talking about up to 18 years. There's a massive amount of patience that is necessary. And it is only through, for me, it is only through the parenting experience that God let me in on how absolutely patient He has had to be with me. Over and over and over. About the time you think your kid got it, there they go again. Again, go get another diaper. You know, again, go get another pull-up. But with God, it's similar. That God is teaching us patience. He's teaching us so many things about Him and His interaction with us by giving us children. He is building us into this. And I'm still baffled that this is the plan of God. The plan of God, it's humbling and it's honoring from God to entrust to us these small image bearers, His children, to protect and to nurture and to build. So this morning, if you feel like you are the least qualified and the least equipped to do this work, you're in a good place and you're among friends. If you are here and you're absolutely exhausted mentally and physically, you're in a good place, because from that position, from that posture, we look up to God and say, I need you desperately right here and right now. I need you to do what we cannot do. And from that, He makes us fit. He makes us fit. Through the scripture, we have a promise. God does not bless us to abandon us. He does not give us children and say, have at it. But He gets in the trench with us. And He who starts it completes it. He wants to and is. He is building you into a suitable parent. He wants to bless you and as a parent, and He wants to build you as a parent. And so this Psalm 127, it shows us four characteristics of the parent that Jesus makes possible. And for those of you who like to take notes, I'll go ahead and give them to you. All right? First characteristic is worshiping parents. He's building us into laboring parents. He's building us into restful parents. And He's building us into joyful parents. All right, so this song, the original singers of this song are people, God's chosen people, who did nothing to earn it. So they're singing this, actually, they're traveling. Almost every Jewish person would go to Jerusalem to worship God at certain times of the year. And so they are singing the song. Everyone knew this song. This was a normal song. This was a repetitive song. And they're singing this song from a position of someone who has been radically blessed. And they are giving credit to God for doing what only God can do. So they were proclaiming their position to each other. And they're saying, unless the Lord builds the house, in verse 1, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. What they're saying is, God has blessed them. The house, the nation that He was building through them, they are simply recipients of the grace of God. They didn't do anything to deserve this. They were actually born into this. And they were singing a song, declaring and reminding each other. And they were saying, essentially, look what God has done here. Look what God has done here. They wanted to make sure that credit was given to whom credit was due. And what they were saying is what's actually going on here is that God has been working. God has been building. God has been watching over. So how were they safe? They were safe because God had them. They were not safe because they built well, and they were not safe because they watched well. They were safe because He built them and He was watching them. So they were saying in this psalm, it was a response. Look what God is doing here. Look what God is doing. God has built this house. And as a parent, we must start there. As a parent, we must start with a clear vocabulary for our children, for those around us, that when we look and see what God has done, that we give credit to whom credit is due. That a family, a parent that God is establishing is a worshiping parent. A parent that says, I don't deserve credit for what is going on here. This is a clear act of God. It's giving recognition to whom recognition is due. God is and God has built this. And we must let our constant acknowledgement of His work be displayed. Verse 3, it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. From the Lord. It's somewhat of a natural bent for us to take on as if we are the primary deliverers of these children. But the scripture says, no. Every child that exists is a child that has been given by grace from the Lord. And we must stop and tell the kids this. God did this. God did this in you. I remember when 13 years ago, Brooke had our twin boys who are sitting right there, I remember holding them and having so many emotions that I didn't know I had run through. I was absolutely overwhelmed with the weight. It's almost immediate. I'm holding them thinking, oh, what have I gotten myself into? What am I going to do here? Now, and I'm on the hook here. This immense amount of weight and pressure. And then that turned, God graciously turned that into utter joy that I, out of all the people in the world, God set me up to be these two boys, to be their parent. That He has entrusted to me this weighty task. And so it moved from scared to death to a hope and a trust in God. When holding the boys, I remember very vividly saying, you did this, God. You did this. This is from you. You did this. And even now, as they grow up, every instant, every point of celebration, I can look at them and say, we say to them, God did this. God is doing this. Give credit to whom credit is due. Worship Him for this. I also remember some of the harder times. I remember the conversation a few years back when we had to let our small children know that their mother had cancer. And we had no, you know, when you get to it, parents, you know this. You meet some circumstances where you kind of know what you should say and what you should do. And then with most of parenting, you get in the circumstances and you're like, I got no clue what I should do here. I'm oblivious to what to do here. And then God meets you. And then God speaks to you. And I remember having the conversation, and Brooke and I with the kids. I remember walking away from that. And Brooke and I were praising God that He let that go well. That He made that go well. And we were celebrating and worshiping God that He had accomplished, even just in that conversation, something that we could not do. Praising God. So people ask when our kids do something well or we're out in public, how do you do this? You're great parents. No, 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 no. The credit, all credit, all credit belongs to God. He has done this work. We did not do it. Great parenting starts with worship. Great parenting starts with worship. Let your kids see and hear you worshiping God. And this is not just through singing. This chapter is a song. But this is in all of life. Constantly, when you get a new job promotion or when you, whatever's going on in your life, to name it and say, kids, look at what God has done. God has made us and is making us into worshipful parents. We celebrate our children, but we worship Jesus. We recognize that it is God's working in them that is causing them to do good, to be good. But this this is challenging. If some of you ever want to know what you worship, you know, what it is that your heart longs for the most, what it is that you seek, we know that all you have to do is ask your kids. Ask your kids, what do I love? It's dangerous, so I'm not saying you should do this. I'm saying they will give you the right answer. Your kids will let you know your kids will let you know if they are the object of your worship, or your job is the object of your worship, or money is the object of your worship. Our kids know us. They see through us. But God is calling us to be the parents that He's making it possible for us to be the parents where our kids can declare to us, Jesus is who you worship. Jesus is who you worship. In a culture where it is normal for kids to be worshiped, it is normal for us to boast in our parenting skills, we proclaim that Jesus is our all-satisfying Savior who sacrificed Himself for our sins, and He purchased us. And because he purchased us, we worship and enjoy Him. And so when Jesus becomes our ultimate object of hope and joy, then our kids don't have to be our gods. Our kids can just be our kids. We do not have to find our future in the success of our children or how well they do this or that. We find our hope and enjoy in Christ forever in eternity. And we can let our kids just be kids. We can take the pressure. When we're worshiping God, when you are worshiping God, it takes the pressure off of your children. And when you're worshiping God, it takes the pressure off of you. When we allow God to be their God, when we allow Him to be the one that is building them, when we allow Him to be the one that is protecting them, we don't have to be our children's gods. We don't have to get them to look to us for everything that only He can provide. We get to demonstrate to them what He is like, but we do not have to play God. There is one God. We say this in our family constantly. There's one God, and you are not He. And I am not He. So He calls us to worship Him, and then He invites us as parents to join Him in what He is doing in our families. So the only way we can get there is when we see the bigger picture of what God has for us. First we see He's building worshiping parents, and now we see He's building laboring parents. He's building laboring parents. So in verse 1 it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor, this is labor, in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. So there is a true call, and I want every parent in here to receive this. Parenting is a gift from God that involves a massive amount of laboring. If you're not tired, you're doing it wrong, okay? This scripture gives us the analogy of construction worker. So they're saying unless God builds the house, those who are building the house, the construction workers, they're laboring in vain unless God is doing it. And we know that God is working in our families. He is building a future for us. And he's calling us to join it, but joining it is utterly hard work. It is, you see the image of a construction worker when he gets off work, unless he's some kind of foreman that does nothing. He is dirty and nasty and exhausted and sweating and he stinks. You see a mother who just had a child and has been with that child. At the end of the day, they are dirty and there's some stinky on them somewhere. And they are exhausted and they're sweating. It is a tiring, laborious. He gives us the analogy here of a construction worker. This is hard work. This is why we encourage newly married couples to move toward and pursue having children, but also know going in, count the cost. This is hard work. It's worth it. It's worth it, but it will cost you. It will cost you. And God is affirming that here with us, that he is building not lazy parents, but laboring parents. There's two types of tired. There's two types of extreme tired. One is third shift workers. If you ever work third shift, raise your hand. Third shift workers. It is horrible, isn't it? It's absolutely horrible. There's third shift workers, and then I got a new baby tired. Those are two types of extreme zombie-like tiredness. Every immense tired, there's a kid involved somehow, somewhere. You come to the end of yourself multiple times a day. Children have a way to make you depend on the Lord. But there's a warning here in chapter 127. There's a warning here that there's a way that you can labor and join God in his laboring. And there's also a way that you can be tired from vain and anxious labor. So in verse 1 it says you have to see who is doing and building and watching. It is us. We're joining God. It's an opportunity to join God in his building and his watching. So as parents, we have an opportunity to labor under his laboring, to protect under his protecting. And this labor, he says, if you join God in what he wants to do, it will have eternal effects. It'll have eternal effects. And I know, parents, I know we want this. We don't want to waste our parenting. We don't want to labor in vain. We want what we are, our investment in our children. We want it to last forever. And God's saying, it can. It can. If you join him in what he is doing. So how do you know that God's building it? How do we know if God's building it? Well, throughout Scripture we see God builds what will give him glory. God wants, parent, God wants to get glory and worship from your kid. He wants it. And he is on a mission to make that happen. And he is calling you to labor with him in making that happen. He wants it. And that is a desire that he is giving us to move toward. So in verse 4 and 5, it says, like arrows in the hand of warriors are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. I love this analogy. How many of y'all have ever watched Mountain Man? Mountain Man? Is this just a country thing? All right, there's a show. There's a show called Mountain Man. All right? And they're just rugged backwoods guys. Just trust me on this. All right? There's an episode where one of the guys, I think he's He's part Indian. I think he lives up in Montana somewhere. And but most of the episode is about how they make arrows. You know, before you went to Field and Stream or whatever to buy arrows, they used to make them. And he's bringing this back. So a lot of the episode is him shaping the arrow. And I love the analogy that that the Bible gives to us as parents of shaping the arrows, because we know that sticks are not by nature arrows, but they must be formed, they must be bent, and they must be shaped. They do not grow in that direction, but they are shaped by someone. By nature, they are knotty and rugged, but can be made smooth. In order for them to shoot straight, they have to be made useful. Sticks are not useful. And God is calling us into the work of shaping and forming small human beings so that they can be shot into the world, out from under our care, shot into the world and useful. And that's, it's our job. This is the hard work. This is the hard work of constantly and gradually bending and shaping and trimming and sharpening. And one day, this is true for some of you have already done this. Some of us are about to do this. One day, the work, that laboring is done. And it's time to shoot the arrow. And it is, it says here, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. There's an arrow in your hand, and then there comes a season in life where the arrow is not in your hand anymore. And we have the opportunity to shoot the arrow in the direction that will be most suitable for them. So we see here God showing us the work that we can join him in. We should be tired, but we should be tired for the right reasons, because we are joining God in what he is doing. Then the massive warning here, the warning of vain parenting. Vain parenting. Vain parenting is parenting that is disconnected from God's desire. God wants us to desire for our kids what he desires for him. He has a plan. Fathers, God has a plan that is better than your plan for your family. He has a brighter future than you can even imagine. Verse 2 says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." That there's a way to work and work and work and stress and work and worry about our kids' present and to worry about our kids' future, and that keeps us up at night and it causes us to wake up early. That is, he said, all of that work is in vain. It is stress. It is anxious parenting. But for those parents who are laboring with him, he offers help. And the third characteristic of a parent that God is building is restful parents. Restful parents. Verse 2, it does say, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." But then it gives us this bright hope. He says, "For he gives to his beloved sleep." God gives. You don't have to work for sleep. He gives. Who? The ones that he loves. The ones that he loves. He gives the ones that he loves sleep. It is a gift given to them. Sleeping is a tangible casting your care on the Lord. It is a tangible yoking up with him. It is not something you earn. It is something that is given from God. Every time we lay down in bed and fall asleep, we are reminding ourselves that we are not God. that because he is awake, we can sleep. We are saying to ourselves, we are weak. We need help. And so we sleep, we are offered this rest in the finished work of Jesus. Like Jesus' ability to sleep in the middle of the storm in the boat, we are in the middle of the storms of parenting. We are able to rest well. Not because we earned it, not because we deserve it. But in our laboring, he says, I'll give you this. I'll give you this sleep. And since it's Mother's Day, I want to encourage the fathers in the room. Join God in what he does. God loves to bless us by giving us sleep. Bless your wife. Bless the mothers by letting them sleep. Literally. Do that. That is representing to them what God gives to them. Join him in this. Give your beloved some sleep. Can I get a witness, ladies? Come on. It is a good thing to recognize what God has done and do that exact same thing. I like in the scripture, you know, where it says the one game that we should be playing is outdoing each other in honor. And we play that sometimes in our house where we live in such a negative world that likes to point out the deficiencies. We're trying to outdo each other in honoring each other. Husband and wife, parent, outdo each other in providing sleep for the other one. Take the hit. Take the hit so that someone can get more rest. God is pleased when you do that because he does that. That's what he's like. So the final characteristic of the parent that Jesus makes possible is joyful parents. Is joyful parents. In verse 3 it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." These people, when was the last time you were walking with your kids in the mall or somewhere at the park and you just busted out in a song because of how glorious your children are? When's the last time you were with your kids? See, that never happens. We don't do this, okay? But what's normal here, what's actually happening in this chapter is they're walking together and they're singing this song. They are saying, because God's been so good to us, I'm going to break out in a song on how good God has been through giving us children. And so you can imagine the children walking with their parents and their parents say, "Whoa, children are a blessing from God, like arrows. Fill the quiver. We are protected. We are loved. This is wonderful." And the kids are going, "They're talking about me." They're singing about me. They're singing about me. And the joy in the parents is clearly seen. And the joy is then transferred to the children. So joyful parents have joyful children. Moaning and griping and complaining parents, that is echoed throughout their children. And so what God creates for us here from his grace through worship and laboring and resting well is a posture and a position of joy. Our children are a delight, a gift. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. It's terribly hard. It's exhausting. It's laboring. But children are a heritage from the Lord. He is tying children into the heritage that God has for us for forever from God. It says that they are a blessing from God. Verse 5, "Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with him." Do you know that children are the only thing in Scripture that clearly is explained as gifts from God that our culture rejects completely. You know, we live in a society where children are not valued. They're not the treasures that God, and they're not the blessings. They're not the joy. And so we as Christ's followers, we hear this call and we see this as an opportunity to be in the world, but not of the world. We get to, as parents, have joy in Christ and parent with this joy. Because they're blessings. It's good to be tired, but it is not good to be bland and grumpy and scowling. God creates for us, Jesus provides for us an opportunity to be joyful parents. So this morning, if you are a Christ follower, you're a parent in here, you want to help parents in here, the scripture calls us to this. The pressure's off. The pressure is off. Christ's work on the cross purchases a people for himself that he has staked his life on. And he will get what he desires. And so as parents, we take the immense weight and responsibility, and we, because of Christ, we shift that right back over to the one that can handle it. And we trust that he will handle it. So the pressure's off. And, parent, Christ follower, the pressure is on. The pressure is on. We work from under his lordship. We work with him. But we are called to this noble task that he will complete. So we worship, parent, because he did it. We labor because he is in it. We sleep because he's got it. And we are joyful because he will complete it. Let's pray. Father, bless us with your presence in parenting. Shape our hearts to continually become the worshipful and hard-working and restful, joyful parents that you desire for us. God, build in us. We want to worship you through parenting. We do not want to be lazy. We need the rest. We want to be joyful. And God, there's nothing that we can inherently do. There's no schedule we can adopt. There's no order we can follow that would make this happen. So God, we are dependent on you building this into us. Help us to be sensitive to you, but also be obedient to you. God, shape us. Help us, encourage us. Thank you for not leaving us in the trench by ourselves. Thank you for the trust that you are building in your parents. We will praise you forever for what you are establishing, what you are building, and what you are watching over and protecting. We trust you. In Christ's name, amen.
Many of you know we want to respond to the Lord and his grace and his proclaimed word. And we want to do that in a variety of ways this morning, corporately together. And so first, in just a minute, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing songs that are true about Christ. And the aim, the hope, is that we would worship in song as the people of Israel were when they were singing Psalm 127. We want to sing together praises to our God. And then secondly, when you're ready, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered and submitted to him as Lord, we'd invite you to take communion. There's a table up front and a table in the back where you can come and take the bread and dip it in the cup and remember Jesus' body that was broken and his blood that was shed so that you and I might have life and hope and joy and forgiveness, and we can have that pressure taken off of us because of his great grace. And then thirdly, if you have kids over there, we would encourage you to go grab them and bring them back as quick as possible. Part of the reason why we encourage you to do that every week is so that we can worship together through song as families and as folks in here together. And then two more things. When you if you're in here and you're going, I need to repent of something. I'm struggling with this. I have an issue going on. I'm hurting in here today. I'd love to pray with you as a pastor. Your community group leader, if they're in here, would love to pray with you, talk with you. I'll be standing in the back. You can find your community group leader or one of the other pastors. We would love to pray with you. And then lastly, if you're in here and you want to give during this time as a worshipful, obedient response to Jesus and all he's done, then we would encourage you to do so. If you're in here and it's your first time, your visitor, will promise you we're not after your money. We are after your hearts. We just know that our checkbooks are an indicator of where our hearts are. And as God's people, we want to faithfully, cheerfully, and sacrificially give to the advancement of God's kingdom through the local church. And so if God's calling you to give, do so cheerfully as a response in worship this morning during this time. I love you guys. Love getting to be one of your pastors. Let's continue to worship Jesus now. Let's stand together.
Before we sing this song, just take a moment to reflect on the word that was spoken. Let it be sealed in your hearts throughout this week as we go through many different challenges, as we face with many different circumstances. Take a moment to reflect on God's word and the things that he says is true about you and his promises towards us.
Slow down, take time, breathe in, he said, he'd reveal what's to come. The thoughts in his mind, take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.
Can we sing that verse again? Verse 1. Let's sing it out.
Slow down, take time, breathe in, he said, he'd reveal what's to come. The thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine, and he'll reveal all to come. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. My soul, find strength in joy. Let his words lead you on. Do not forget his great faithfulness. He'll finish all he's begun. Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Take courage, my heart. stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting.
Get up.
Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. And you who hold the stars, who call them each by name, you'll surely keep your promise to me that I will rise your victory. And you who hold the stars, who call them each by name, will surely
failing. Never failing, no matter what it looks like. Go ahead and look at the person beside you and say, our God never fails.
Our God never fails.
Come on, tell them. Say, our God never fails.
Our God never fails.
Here we go. Because all we need is Him. Y'all can help me sing this one. This is a familiar one, all right?
I left my fear by the side of the road. I hear you speak and I won't let go. I fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. I got every reason to be here again. My Father's love, it draws me in. And all my eyes want to see is a glimpse of you. Say, 'cause all I need is you. All I need is you, Lord, is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord.
Let's sing that verse again. Left my fear. Here we go. Say, I left my fear by the side of the road. I hear you speak and I won't let go. I fall to my knees as I lift my hands to pray. Here again, the Father's love, it's all. And
All my eyes want to see is a glimpse of you. Lift it up, say, all I need is you. Yeah. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you.
Verse 2, here we go, one more day. Say, one more day and I'm not the same. The Spirit calls my heart to sing. Drawn to the voice of my Savior once again. Where will my soul be without your Son, who gave his life to save me? I rest in the thought that you're watching over me. Say, cause all I need is you. All I need is you. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. Say, 'cause all I need is you. All I
about right here. He says this. He says, what?
'Cause you hold, woo, the universe, and you hold everyone on earth, and you hold, woo, the universe, and you hold. Yes, you hold.
You hold. You hold. Jesus came into my life and noise, he changed with the game. Then me a new language of talk. Taking the swag of my walk. Greatness all within me. Fires all up in me. Then he told me like the world would spark. The soul is left to overflow. And that's how you will know. That's how you know. That's how you love. We're one in the Lord we sow. That's how you know. That's how we grow. All I need.
Woo.
Say it.
All I need.
All we need. All we need. Say it.
All I need.
Together we say,
all I need is you.
Sing it.
All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord.
God, we thank you for your presence being in this place today. Being here with us, God. And God, all we need is you, knowing that you hold the universe, no matter what it looks like, no matter what situations come our way that we're faced with. Because God, we are not slaves to fear.
Yes.
We are children. You've adopted us into your family. We are children of you, God. So, God, as we lift this last song up in celebration, we declare and we decree we are your sons and your daughters. And we don't have to be captivated by fear no longer. But, God, as long as you are on our side, there's nothing that we can't do. So help us in our parenting.
Yes.
As we parent our young ones, our young hearts, allow their innocence not to be given over to corruption, but God, let them live to your glory. Amen. Amen. Let's worship in this last song together. All right?
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Woo! I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Sing it out.
I'm no longer a slave. Oh, I am a child of God.